We're talking today with Jim Palmer, who's the Chief Executive Officer of the National Association of Wheat Growers. Jim, as we come to this commodity classic, I know that your folks have already met in Washington earlier here in the latter days of January, even as we were seeing some finishing touches on the Farm Bill process. Your overall thoughts, how pleased is NOG with the commodity title and the rest of the Farm Bill?
Oh, right up front, the Farm Bill passed as we were having our board meeting in Washington, D.C., and there was quite a bit of excitement about that. It's been 3 years in the making. As far as crop insurance, we're very satisfied that we were able to hold it together. And also, I think just because of Oklahoma and Texas in that area, we're looking at stronger price support levels than what we thought we might have. So that's good, Ron.
You know, we obviously have got choices that the farmers will be making as the bill is implemented and they come to that point of signing up. Where do you see wheat farmers going as far as those two choices that are out there to them?
It's still open, and we are turning to our land grants to give us some good analysis. And I would say that's probably one of the things that our leadership are looking closest at is which way it's going to go. And it's going to be a case-by-case basis for majority farmers and what their outlook is on what they think prices are going to be in the next few years through the Farm Bill.
When we think about, you mentioned crop insurance. It seems that we've got a lot of people that already were after crop insurance, even as we were dropping the direct farm price supports. That is the next big pot of money we're going to have a lot of targeting on, isn't it?
Very much so. And if anything, all the farmers and all the commodities and the general farm organizations, we need to stand together. If anything, that's a food security issue as well as it's a food economics issue. It's not just an ag issue, and it's not just a farmer issue.
Your group's one of several that have stepped up and have questioned the intent of Japan on the Trans-Pacific Partnership. You're wanting more from them. What do you want?
We want them to open up their trade as well as they are for the United States. It seems to us that they are holding back on some of their tariffs when the United States has really loosened up quite of theirs as far as the organization goes. Also, when you take a look at how important Japan is, or that whole Pacific Basin, which they follow Japan's lead, we're looking at Japan itself imports 90% of their wheat. 60% of that wheat that they're importing is coming out of the Pacific Northwest and out through the Gulf with good Oklahoma wheat.
At this point, if they don't go along, if they don't play ball, is a TPP in jeopardy, you think?
Maybe so. Not necessarily from wheat, but there's concern among others. It has been very, very close and very cautious on the wheat leadership's part. And my concern is we probably want to move ahead, but the concern with that is we want to continue the pressure on Japan to come into the agreement and come into the agreement more favorable terms than what they're talking about now.
When it comes to the gluten issue, obviously you've got some partners, but how do you make this, you know, get the farmer's story out?
Oh, get the story out? I think the Wheat Food Council does a very good job on that, as well as we have other campaign efforts going on. But more importantly, you don't just do it on communications. You also do it through research. And we're looking at new venues as far as research regarding the gluten issue.
Is this something that, I mean, are we going to be able to win this? Is this just a fad, or is this something we can win? Or how serious do you view this whole situation?
We take it very seriously. Anything that's going to influence your markets the way it has, it's too early to tell whether it's a fad or a trend. That being said, you can't ignore it. It's just how do you respond to it. And it's a consumer issue. Issue. Also, there's only 0.6% of the population that really has any health issues with gluten. Whereas, is it affecting market. They say as much as 5%. In working very closely with the National Ag Millers Association and the American Bakers Association, we're looking at ways to address it and the impact. Also, let's not forget, sometimes gluten is added beyond what's naturally in wheat for bread. So I think as you start seeing market niches of bakers, whatever, reducing it down to the current levels that are in wheat, you'll see it addressed there. But a lot of it's just in the bread.
Right. GMOs. Obviously, the wheat industry's been grappling with this for a while. You've got partners and industry partners that are out that are starting to push toward a GMO wheat at some point. Do you think the markets are going to be ready when the wheat's ready?
Hope so. Next, Brett, when you look at GMO wheat, to me that's, or biotech wheat, whatever you want to call it, it's going to depend upon what the trait is. If it's a trait just for farmers to increase yields or herbicide resistance or pesticides resistance or drought, where the consumer doesn't see any benefit back to them personally, there will be resistance to it. And just dropping the price of a loaf of bread may not affect the influential influential customers that we're talking about. But there are a lot of people out there that in the United States and around the world that want access to affordable bread. So that's one option there. As far as others are concerned, on the GMO, I think we're going to need to be looking at some consumer traits, such as gluten, gluten reduction. If we were to introduce something like that, the bakers have, several of the major baking companies said there will definitely be a market for it, an improvement. You can look at obstacles as opportunities, or you can look at opportunities as obstacles, but that's what determines the issue.